All good ones. Now, the first thing, I want to say a few words on the feather, then we can go over to the Indian of Pesach. Feathers, of course, he sees all, and about the unfortunate events of the golden calf. Now, the golden calf was not made by the Jewish people. It was made by the Erev Rav, the people that had come along. They were admirers of the Jews, but they were Egyptians. And then when the Nazis caught it, they decided to leave Egypt to cover the Jewish people. But they were always troublemakers, unfortunately. Hello?
Yes.
What happened was, unfortunately, the Jewish people were expected to protest and to do their best to get rid of them, but unfortunately they didn't have. But let's get back to this. Now, there was a problem when it comes to reading the Sefer Torah tomorrow. It's one of the most largest sets that is for them. And there are, first aliyah belongs to the Kohen. The second aliyah, which decides as they have the whole description of the eagle, of the golden calf. This is, of course, belongs to the Levi. The second aliyah, first came to the Levi. Now, therefore, the meaning is, you never give anybody else except the Levi, which is automatically, because the second Aliyah always goes to the Levi. And the Levi, Baruch Hashem, they have nothing to do with the golden calf. They never worshipped in Mitzrayim. They were not the Levi. So the Levi are the best of all the tribes. And it's fitting that the policy of the angle should be read by a lady. But sometimes you come to shul and there is no Kayan. And you have to begin with a lady. But then the lady gets only the first aliyah. The second aliyah, she goes to his soul. That's not fair. Therefore, the meaning is bought and so that if you come tomorrow morning to shul, and there is no Kohen, then you call the Levi and you read the Levi all the way till Shlishi, so that the Parsha Ha'egel should be read by the Levi. And then you make a suffer, and because you're listening while you leave. So, oh, that's a small problem. Okay, I thought that this would be an introduction to today's lecture. Today's lecture has nothing to do, actually, with this. We are speaking about the Korban Pesach. And not only the Korban Pesach. Hello?
Yes.
Not only the Korban Pesach, but only about the Seder. Now, the Seder is very important. You know, when you come home from school Saturday night, the first Seder this year is a very unusual one, a very rare one, and that is Saturday night. Now, Saturday night, of course, it is a combination of Havdalah and Shiur. So therefore, the symbol is Yaknahaz, that the Kiddush is a Kiddush of five sections. The first is Yad is Yud, is Yayin, you say, better play Gofen. Then the second one is Kiddush. Shabbat HaMoyim Kolom, Atitlon, Shemuk, Yem, Yemap, Masters, and so on. That is it too. Then the third one is Ne'er, Nunes. Ne'er means Ber Meir'eis. It's like every Saturday night. So you have to bring in like two candles and the Balabas and everybody, they say, walk on the Ne'er, on the light. Ber Meir'eis. Then comes the Havdalah, a special Havdalah. And the Malum and Kesel Hill, the Rechefel, and the Mashishme and Matpe. And it's a long one. Usually, Havdalah, you can say it by heart. Oh, this Havdalah should be said in the Hagwazo, in a comic, a Malta, because they're very intricate one, and you're bound to make a mistake. So, therefore, that's, and then you recite him, Boruch HaMazel Mekodesh, Mekodesh. Usually a Mazel Mekodesh, the whole. Here is a Mazel Mekodesh, Mekodesh. Between the Kedushas, which we just are leaving, and the Kedushas Yom Tov, which are just entering. And then, of course, comes the completion. Zman is Shechiyonu. Again, in short, it's Yayin, Kiddush, Ne'er, Havdalah, and Shechiyonu, Zman. And it's a very intricate Kiddush and Havdalah. Now, the other thing has signs of the Seder, as we call it, is all symbols made for you. First one is Kaddish, we just described. Then the second one is Karpas. Karpas means that you take any kind of a vegetable. In America, it's not like in Europe. In Europe, years ago, it came in the spring. There were no vegetables except potato. And therefore, some people to this day use a potato as a karpas, which in America is not. Because never, by us, we have, if you want any kind of vegetable, you can, and you want to play out, don't worry, any kind of a vegetable. So therefore, you can use, for example, a piece of tomato, a piece of celery, a celery, and so on. These are all karpas. Now, before you eat the karpas, there is an Indian of washing your hands. Usually, we only wash our hands when we eat bread or matzah. But however, the night of Pesach, we do it even though it's not required. To show, we do only a chumrus show. So therefore, so it's after Kiddush comes the chatz, we wash our hands without a bracha on this time, and then we eat the karpas. How much of the karpas do we eat? Well, first of all, you need a piece of karpas. And it's a dip into salt water or into a kosher vinegar, taste like a vinegar, and it should have a tom. And there is a minig by most people, you eat less than a kasayas, so that you shouldn't have to say a bohachina. Because the mitzvah of karpas, according to the Rosh, this opinion, is that later on in the meal you will eat more of whether horseradish or the enzymes or whatever, and there will be a silence. Do you say what? You be a child of a broker. So therefore, you make a broker and a kapas to his pasas before the meal. And therefore, you should eat less. However, there is a second sheet in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Dafke akathayas. If there's a mitzvah of eating something, you must eat a minimum kathayas. Yes. Okay. So you have a machlekes, the Rambam, the Rosh. As I said, the minig, most people, 90% of the people would say Be'er on less than the kathayas, like the Rosh. However, there are a minority that are not sure of Kim Dumania, a mission. Feinstein in a war, his minute was also Zafkikudayat. Now let's continue. Kalpas. Then comes the, of course, the body of the Beda. The first thing is Yachas, to divide the middle matzah into. You start usually with three matzahs, not like Shabbos, with Lech HaMishnah. He has to have three, because the middle one, the middle, we usually break in half. Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, the sum that the remnant of the matzah is Kohen Levi Yisrael. So the middle one is the Levi. And he is the strongest member of the Klal Yisrael, Levi. Levi never was able to Yisrael. The Levi did not have to work in Mitzrayim. They were exempt, and they are stronger, and therefore they can take and even break them in half. They'll remain Levi. That's the symbolism of the Levi. Okay, now getting back, then comes, of course, the Achaz, and you have to hide the bigger part of the middle matzah is called the afikoman. That is the end of the meal later on in the seder, and it represents the end of the golos. The end of the golos. There will come a geula bigger than the first geula in Mitzrayim. That is symbolized by the bigger half of the matzah. And then, of course, then we begin the Haggadah. So Haggadah begins with the word Maggid, telling what happened in Messiah. Now, the first thing is, we say, what are we doing here at the Seder? We are eating matzah. We are eating matzah. That this is Holach Mo'anyo, this is the poor bread. There is no egg, nothing mixed into it, just flour and water. The matzah. Holach Mo'anyo, the Acholo Abasono, the Yad of the Mitzrayim. When we were slaves in Mitzrayim, our forefathers, so the Mitzrayim were given only matzah. Matzah you can't eat as much as you eat in bread. So the Mitzrayim always tried to squeeze them the less they could give them. And then we say that tonight we have no restriction. Anybody wants can eat. Then of course comes what we describe as the four kashrus. And the kashrus, of course, Manishtana Halayla Hashem, Kolalelis. Why is the night of Pesach? Why is it different from every night? The main question is one central question. All of the nights, there are no mitzvahs at night. For instance, there's a mitzvah of talis, a mitzvah of til, the mitzvah of shefa, the mitzvah of luav and esrog, the mitzvah, all these mitzvahs, kseda, are the mitzvah for Megillah reading. Megillah was only a mitzvah, Mordechai and Esther, after the great miracle of Purim, they decided to have a reading of the Megillah, but only once during a day, in the daytime. Later on, it was added, the reading on the night. That's why the minig of Ashkenaz, we say Shechiyonu on the Megillah reading at night, and then when we repeat the reading of the Megillah in the daytime, what do? We say Shechiyonu again. It's a different kind of a mitzvah. The mitzvah of the night is a rabbanon. Add on later, the mitzvah in the morning was fashioned by Mordechai and Esther. So it's doing Kabbalah, in other words, the Ketuvim. So therefore, it's a different type of mitzvah. Yes. So anyway, so we say Manish Tanah, and then we list all the difficulties. Now, with Manah Bias, there was a separate reading, a separate mitzvah. And what was that mitzvah? That mitzvah was called Tzoli. Tzoli means the Koman had to be eaten roasted on an open fire, a piece of the Pesach as big as a Kesayis, minimum. And therefore, we say a lot of things. Because Harayla has there Kulei Matzah in the first question, and then, of course, others. Then, Mizman Habayas, there was another question. Shebechol HaLelos, all other nights of the year, on the Echem, we have to eat a piece of meat, yomtiv or whatever, but that piece of meat does not have to be tzoli, it has to be fried on an open fire. But it can be tzoli, kolos, kolos, you can have it cooked, you can have it any other way of preparing it. Tzoli, sholik, mavush. However, the night of Pesach, kulei tzoli, it is all roasted. Now, why do we say kulei tzoli? Only the korban Pesach has to be roasted. If you like the mussel, if you like fish, you can have roasted fish too. Why not? But why do I say kulei tzoli? The answer is found in the Gemara. Besides the korban Pesach, every night of the Seder, only one night, they would have a piece of roasted korban Pesach and a piece of another korban called the Chagigah, the celebration of Yom Tov, because the korban Pesach was a small little lamb or a goat, and not even a year old. And then you might have a seder with 20 people, 30 people. There won't be enough to everybody. So give them a tiny little piece of kazayit. Therefore, in order they should be satisfied with meat, you had another korban, another sacrifice, another animal. And that was called the chagigah. And chagigah was a long size to complete, another complement, the work of the korban Pesach. The work of the korban Pesach. In this chagigah, there is a difference of opinion between Ben Tema, one of the chachomim in the time of the Migdash, Ben Tema, the son of Tema, and the other Chachomim. Ben Tamer said that the Chagigo is a replica of the Korban Pesach. Just like the Korban Pesach was a tiny little lamb, less than a year, and then it had to be roasted, so the Chagigo, in essence, was also a lamb, and it had to be roasted. So therefore we say, Halayla Hazeh Kulay Tzoli. It is all roasted. However, there is a separate, second opinion of the other rabbis, Chachmei HaGemara and Chachmei HaMishnah, and they said only the Korban Pesach was roasted and tiny little sheep. But the Korban Chagiga, that could be even a nux, a seer. You brought in a seer, 2-3 year old, and you pour shchita and so on, and you do the necessary avodas, and then you will have enough meat for everybody. And the Rambam says this opinion is accepted, not the opinion of Ben Tamer. Ben Tamer's a minority opinion, but we accept the opinion of the Chachamim, of the other rabbis. Right. And the Rama. Tesis in the Masechet Pesachim says no. That the opinion of Ben Tamer is the one accepted because it says, Halayla Hazeh Kulay Tzoli. Anything, not only the Korban Pesach was Tzoli was roasted, but anything like the Chagiga was also roasted. Now that's the Machlekes, the Rambam, and Tesis. However, the Rambam lists in his version of the Hakdama, the Rambam Hilchos Chometz Matzah, Zok the Rambam, Halayla Hazeh Kulay Tzoli. The question is, the Rambam himself says the halacha is not like Ben Tamer. The halacha is like the Chachomim. How come he says Halayla Hazeh Kulay Tzoli? So the kasha for one of the major commentators on the Rambam, the Lech HaMishneh, Rabbi Avram de Bolton, he lived in Asia Minor in Turkey, and right after Beis Yosef, and he raises this question in the Lech HaMishneh. He says, how could the Rambam say Halayla Hazeh Kulay Tzoli? And the Rambam himself says that we accept the opinion of the Chachamim that only the Korban Pesach was Tzoli was roasted. The Abikol HaGigah not roasted. So it seems to me a very simple answer. The answer is, when we say Halayla Hazeh Kulay Tzoli, it doesn't mean everything you eat. If you like fish, if you like anything at all, you can be Tzoli. Tzoli are the things that you are mitzvah. The din of Chagigah El Pesach, the one I have to say that this is a special Chagigah. Some say it's a mitzvah, and Rav Ashi says Chagigah is reshus, optional. If you want more meat at the Seder, you shech a Chagigah. If you don't need it, you don't have to do it. There's no mitzvah. The Gemara is going according to opinion of the previous Chachamim that Chagigah is a mitzvah. However, we paskin like Rav Ashi that there is no mitzvah on Chagigah at a Seder. It is optional. If you have a small group, like today, you know, with the Gezerah for the COVID, whatever, and of course you may have a small Seder. So, you know, well, one little sheep will be enough for the whole Seder. Then you don't need no Chagigah. So then when you say Halayla Hazeh Kulay Tzoli, it means anything that is a chiyuv, that is an obligation. But But since Chagiga in the night of Pesach is Rishus, optional, you don't have to say Kulitzoli. Because Kulitzoli only means become Pesach. Oh, so this is such a simple answer that it's always by me, when we say Apella, I wonder that the Lech HaMishneh himself, when he raises the question, how come he didn't answer that? So it's a kash. Oh my gosh. And let's continue now. Now the next thing I want to say is we start saying the Hagoleh as an answer. The answer we give, Avodim Hayinu L'Farah B'Mitzrayim. You should know, gentlemen and ladies, that we were slaves in Mitzrayim. Avodim Hayinu L'Farah B'Mitzrayim. Because the whole Seder is built on one basis, to emphasize the difference between slavery and freedom. When we were slaves, we were avodim ayinu lefara b'Mitzrayim. We were slaves to the Egyptians, and part of the king, of course. But then there's another opinion. Rav Shmuel said we should emphasize what it means, an eved means a slave. A slave has no dignity. A slave has no identity. He is a myth. And there were 5 slaves, 20 slaves, whatever. But there was no identity. And Rav says, Mitzchilo Oidei Avodah Zarah, we should not only talk about depravity of being a slave, but we should also emphasize that spiritually we were able to have a zona. We worshipped idols, except, of course, the B'nai Levi. The B'nai Levi were exempt. They were the elite of the Klal Yisrael, and they didn't have to work at all. Oh, So therefore, Rav says that we should not only emphasize the poverty and the slavery, but the spiritual of Mitzchila Eidah Vedezoneh Oyu Avistel. They were slave workers and worship idols and Asaf Kevonu Amokev Ravidos. Part, and one of the parts, the major parts of the delivery from Egypt, from Mitzrayim, was the fact it was followed very shortly by Maimon Har Sinai. We left Mitzrayim on Pesach, Shish of Pesach, and Shavuos, we will have the revelation on Har Sinai. That is the thing we should emphasize. So Rav says it's important to emphasize the spiritual deprivation of Israel in Mitzrayim. And Shmuel says, besides that, Avodim Hayinu, we were simple slaves. A slave has no mitzvah. A slave has no identity. A slave is a lower kind of human being. That's what we should emphasize. This is a machlekes for the Rav and Shmuel. Then the Tehillim says, "Arami Oved Ofi." We read about Yankov Avinu. You know why he became a slave? Actually, Yankov Avinu never was a slave, because he came to Mitzrayim as the father of Yosef. Yosef was the leader of Mitzrayim. He was not a slave. However, why was Yosef sold into slavery? Arami Oyvidovi. Because Arami means Lavan, the father of Yankov Avinu, the mother of Rachel and Leah and Bilhah and Zilpah. He was Arami. He was a swindler. Arami Oyvidovi. Yankov wants to the Marwal Rojo, and he said, no, I'm going to give him Leia. Well, Leia was a sister. If the plan of Yankiv had been, and he would have married Rojo first, then Yosef, the son of Rojo, he would be the oldest brother, and they would naturally accept him as the leader of the brothers. Unfortunately, but what happened was Leah is the older one, and now the leaders are the children of Leah. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they are the leaders. And the Yosef is a youngster. And this youngster is an upstart. He starts up, he wants to be the leader. He dreams about it. That's why the brothers hated him, and they sold him as a slave. If he had not been the son of Rojo, or if Rojo had been the older one first, he was married first, then Leah would have been the mother of the youngest children, and they would have accepted Yosef as the leader. But Arami Avedovi, because Arami, Lovan, he tried to get rid of Yankiv. By Yerev Mitzrayimu, that is the source and the reason why they sold Yosef as a slave, and they were forced to go down to Mitzrayim. Oh, so who is responsible for all the trouble in Mitzrayim? Arami Avedovi, not Yankiv, and certainly not Yosef, and not Yehuda, who is the leader. The culprit here is Lovan himself, the grandfather of Yosef, and he was the one Arami Avedovi, my husband Simon. All right, now we have time also to discuss. Another part in the Agoda. Vayetzienu Hashem in Mitzrayim. We say at the Agoda, the night of Pesach, we should understand that who brought us out of Mitzrayim, there was no messenger, not the Yohanovi wasn't born yet. And to say that, who were the one who took us out of Mitzrayim? Hashem, God Himself, the Yetzien Hashem in Mitzrayim. And the ones that are going to emphasize this. Lord, the Malach, Hashem didn't send a Malach, an angel, take us out. Lord, the Sorov, is a burning angel, but Hashem Himself took us out. There's very explanations. Why shouldn't Hashem send a messenger, a shaliach, a malach, an angel? Why not go himself? But I like the one most, that it is important, and you can always judge the importance of what happens to a person. Hashem, what men Hashemayim, what they want to do it. If they send an ordinary person, it's an ordinary act. If they send a special act, for instance, just a primary example, if there is a dedication of a capital, of one of the capitals of the 50 states of the United States, they will send the president himself to take charge of celebration, to show you the importance of the event. Hashem said, when I had to deliver my people, Israel, from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, did I send a messenger? No. It's of primary importance. I didn't send an angel. I didn't send nothing. I went myself to relieve them. I didn't even send out solar. I went myself. That shows you the importance of the delivery of Egypt. That Hashem didn't want to send an angel to send a shaliach, a messenger. No, sir. He himself came. He himself took us out. Where are they, Malach and they Shliach? Not through a Malach and angel, not through a Shliach and agents. Because Malach and Master, that shows you how important we are. And that is why when on Shavuot, when Hashem proclaimed the Aseret Hadibros, the Ten Commandments, what did he say? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Remember, I'm your God. Asher Oseshicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I could have sent an angel to take you out of Mitzrayim. I went myself. That is to emphasize your importance. You are the most important part of the human race on this earth. And that you should always remember. That's why the Ten Commandments begins with that. Anochi Hashem, Asher Oseshicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Do you know who you are? You are the people that I myself personally went to deliver you from the hand of Pharaoh and from the hand of the Mitzrayim. So much for the introduction of the Agoda. Now we go to one of the most important parts, the Esther Makkos. 10 plagues, 10 Makkos, 10 punishments different times were given to the Egyptians. The first one, Zom. All the world, there were water, there were rivers, there were wells, everything turned to blood, except whatever the Jews were drinking. Only the water of the Egyptians turned to blood, not the water of the Jews. So therefore, any Egyptian who wanted something to drink, he had to go and buy it from a Jew. So therefore, the first result of the market of dam, the market of blood, the Jews became very wealthy. They had plenty of water, and the water turned into money. They could sell every bottle of water, every quart, every gallon. They spent money, and they became rich. The second market, Tzfadea. Tzfadea means sloth, frogs. Frogs. There was a plague of frogs all over the homes of the Egyptians. Pharaoh himself, when he went to bed at night, he found that the whole mattress, the whole bed is full of frogs. It wasn't very pleasant. And the Medrash says that many, many years later, there was an event in Mitzrayim where the Jews had come back, you know, from Golos, and they had several hundred, it was 1,000 years later. And the community in Mitzrayim and all over the world was, well, there were Jewish communities all over the world, especially in Rome itself. Rome, the seat of Aesop. And there was a Jewish community, and there was a leader, a Jew, his name was Thaddeus, Tudus. Thaddeus, Tudus Ishlemi, the leading citizen of the Jewish community in Rome. And he said in a drosha to his congregation, Ma war Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. there was a later event, hundreds of years later, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, he wanted everybody, including the Jews, that they were subservient to him. Everybody should bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah, let's continue.
And they should... And Nebuchadnezzar should be a representative of the Jewish nation, that they are going to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar and accept his rule. Nebuchadnezzar is very powerful, the strongest man in the world. And why did they do such? When they refused, Nebuchadnezzar said that they should be thrown into the furnace, burn them. And of course, a miracle occurred, and Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, came down, cooled the fire, so they were saved. But why the Chaschila, why did they go to the fire? They could have said to the Chaschila, look, we are Jews, we don't bow down to anybody except to Hashem himself. He's the leader of the world, that's all. Why did they bow down to the... Why did they... The Tennessee, they said, look, Nebuchadnezzar, why don't you look at the Tzadea, the humble frogs. Frogs refused to everything was told, and one of the things the frogs were told by Hashem, you must cover everything. You must even go creep if there's a fire burning in the oven. You frogs have to creep into the oven. So Tudor said, if a frog, a lonely creature, and he goes in the fire, imagine we are the Jewish people, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, great scholars, we should not be as good as a frog. So they crept into the fire. That's a Gemara. So that's why. So the Hanani Mishael Azariah, what they did was to emulate, to follow the example of the Tzfadea. Then comes the next market, Kinim Oloi. Actually, David HaMelech in Tilim, I think it's Ayin Ches, 78, Psalm 78. I think he says there that actually David HaMelech listed, he has a list of the markets, not Kinim Oloi, first Kinim, in other words, lice, and then all the wild animals. No, because David HaMelech says, Omar Vayavay Oroi, Kinim Chogborom. Hashem commanded first to be Oroi, then Kinim. So the question is, why did David HaMelech change the order? He should have said Kinim and then Oroi. He says Oroi and then Kinim. Hello? How much was that till 4 o'clock? Was it 4 now?
No, we have another 5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes. The answer, the Dubna Magid, one of the biggest Rashanim in Europe, some little town in Poland called Dubna, and the Dubna Magid was very good at that. I'll give you an example. There once was a very rich man, had an only daughter, and he found a chosen, a groom, and made a big wedding, but he was afraid people would come to crash in. They didn't send, they didn't have an invitation. They called, everybody was known to come. But then they appointed a mashgiach, a supervisor, nobody should quit the party. So this fellow says the first night, by Shabbos Brachos, there was a big crowd, and the second night, again a crowd, but they see the same fellow is there again. He goes over to me and says, excuse me, weren't you here last night? He says, yes. What are you doing again? He says, don't you understand? Last night, every rabbi in the city was invited. I'm a rabbi in the city. Tonight, all relatives, first cousin, second cousin, everybody's invited, as long as you're a relative. So there's no question. Yesterday I came here as a rabbi. Today I come here as a kohen, as a relative. So the Dubno says, that's what happened here. Omar v'yov v'yovoyim. Yovoyim is actually the fourth mark, not the third. But the kingdom had already been there the night before. Today, they're coming not as kingdom, but as Olaf. So they came again. That's why it says tonight. Omar Yalov Kimu. Okay, we have one more minute to talk about the last market, the seventh, actually the seventh. Rashi says, Borod, the seventh plague. The plague of hail. You know, hail saturated the surface and knocked down all the trees. All the plants were ripped out. The whole surface of Mitzrayim was flat as a pancake. There was nothing to it, no trees, nothing to eat, nothing. And Rashi says, Borod Arba. Borod is the worst of all. After Borod, you know, the Marcus ends for a while. The last three Marcus are the new Seder. Not, they're not in they're not in the Seder of Vayera, but in Boy. The answer is very simple. After the Marcus Borod, the advisors of Pari themselves, they said to them, let's face it, we have lost the battle. We lost. You know, the Second World War, when Germany was beaten in our Stalingrad, they continued fighting, but the Germans knew they lost the war. That is Borod in Mitzrayim. Even though they continued, but they knew that I had lost the war against Hashem and against the Jews. That's why they gave up. So I think we'll stop here. But another next week, please, 3 o'clock or 4. On Wednesday afternoon, all right? Thank you, God, for listening. And especially us here to Finkel and to Yehuda, all right?
Okay.
Bye-bye. Any questions before I go off? Any questions, no? It's already all explained. Fine. But we know next week we will continue this. We have just begun to cover the first half of the Seder. Okay?
Very good.